Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Keeping It Real with Steph and Darren.
Good morning, everyone.
So it's been another cold morning.
I think
I can't take it anymore.
I can't take it anymore. The weather is terrible, and the news flow coming out everywhere is just morbidly depressing. Right? I mean, is there any good news out there? Is there anything that's good going on in the world right now?
There is, then nobody's reporting it.
Yeah, because I have not seen one good, positive, happy news story over the last few days or weeks. I mean, maybe one-off type of things, you know, human interest stories. But the stuff that happened yesterday with the train from Grand Central in Valhalla, it's very upsetting.
Yeah, I mean, it's
7 people died.
Yeah.
The news just kept getting worse and worse. You know, originally they reported the incident and just said that a train hit a car, and then as more unfolded, the actual story and the video footage of what actually took place and the third rail actually coming through the car, and what the people must have in that first car had to endure is beyond frightening.
Well, it's frightening too because that's our train line, and actually a friend of mine lives in Chappaqua, so she could have been, you know, that I'm sure that she probably knew people who were on that train. It was 5:45 p.m. that it left, so it was smack in the middle of rush hour, and it's a crazy story. I mean, they said that there was traffic on the Taconic because there was another accident, and trains and cars were being diverted, and they went to this obscure area where there was like a cemetery, and you had to drive over the train tracks, and supposedly a woman was in the middle of driving over the tracks, and that's when the bar came down and it hit her car.
So it's unclear as to whether or not she was trying to...
Yeah, I don't think she was trying to race through it. I think it was a matter of she was in the middle of it and it hit her car, and she got startled and didn't know what it was, and then she tried to get back in her car and drive off, and in that moment, the train came. I mean, I don't understand how could she have not seen it coming, the train itself.
It's definitely dark, right? It was night.
It's
hard to say in that area how much visibility you had. I have no idea if the train's coming around the bends. You have no idea. You always like to think that, you know, you would have done it differently and know differently. But until you're in that situation, you don't know what that person was thinking, facing, what everybody, you know, with the train, you know, the train coming on. Did they see the car? You have no idea. It's hard to tell exactly what happened. The only thing we do know, it's just terribly tragic. And
yeah, and then the scary thing was is that if it had just been a matter of a train hitting a car, the people in the train itself might have been okay, but then the third rail supposedly went through the first train car, and that's why the train caught fire and the car blew up and people were injured and killed, and I mean those trains all the time.
Yeah, if this happened, you know, what is it, less than 10 miles away from here?
Yeah, well, and again, it's that's our train line.
Right, I mean, I'm saying, I know.
That's even more frightening is that I know that train very well. And yes, we normally get off at Scarsdale, but that one was bound for Chappaqua. Tons of, you know, I'm sometimes on trains that are bound for Chappaqua where you get off at Scarsdale. So it's that split second. And I know sometimes when I'm on the train, there are times when you go over like certain tracks where you feel like, wow, it's kind of scary. It feels kind of rickety. It doesn't feel safe, whatever. And you just let it pass. You just ignore it because you don't think anything's going to happen. And this was just horrific. And my heart goes out to the families who have been affected by it. There's going to be, I'm sure, all kinds of issues coming up now, even in terms of commuting and travel from that area.
I didn't realize how much scrutiny the Metro North was under even beforehand. I guess Chuck Schumer has been a very big critic of the Metro North and stuff like that. So it'd be interesting to see what comes
out. But they're saying that it wasn't their fault. I mean, it was here's the thing. Normally when that thing comes down, you hear that clang, 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 and then it starts coming down. So the question was, did she hear that and did she still keep going, or, you know, whatever it was? why did that happen in that particular area? And because what they're saying is it was the SUV's fault for being on the tracks, and the train obviously didn't see it. So it wasn't like it was a driver error, and he had no way of stopping because he didn't know that it was right there before it was too late.
No, again, I'm sure they're going to, the investigation by the transportation authorities is going to be going on for months, if not, you know, a year or however long it takes when these types of incidents occur. But it is very upsetting, very sad. And like I said, when you have it outside like it is, as drab as it is, and the news flow coming out, you can see how people can easily fall into a state of depression, you know?
Yeah.
This weather really can take a toll on you over time. I'm a big believer in sunshine and happiness. And when you don't have it, and it's cold out here, and you're constantly being barraged by bad news, how could it not take a toll on somebody? So when you're feeling that way, you got to go ahead and give yourself a kick in the ass and get up and move about and say you don't have it so bad, and go find ways to make yourself productive and useful, and go to the gym and exercise and get yourself moving again to get yourself out of that funk. Because I know for myself it's very easy to start falling into a funk, right?
Yes, it is. Well, and in this kind of climate, it's not fun. And it's frozen. They're saying there are more storms expected in the next couple of days. So, you know.
So, before you saw me posting something on Facebook, and then I decided afterwards I deleted the post. I posted something on Facebook about the anti-vaccination community and parents out there. And, you know, I have a habit of stirring it up once in a while. And I put my comments on Facebook, and then I realized, you know what, I'm really going to try to move away from putting controversial stuff on Facebook and just...
We can just talk about it.
Hey, just talk about it. And,
well, I mean, here's the interesting thing. With
I mean, it's all over. It's
awful.
Is front and center. It is all over.
It was a ticking time bomb is what it was, because all these anti-vaccination people who were up in arms back, you know, 10 years ago, saying they don't want to vaccinate their kids because they felt there was a link between that and autism. Well, their babies grew up, and their babies have contracted measles. And they decided to take them to Disneyland, and here we are, like 13 or 14 states later, and now there's an outbreak of something that had actually been eradicated. And
they say that the scientific claim that autism was linked to the vaccination has been discredited by so many people that it's not a valid argument for not getting vaccinated. You know, there are some legitimate reasons not to get vaccinated. They actually had this woman who has two children for health reasons where she can't get the vaccine, and she implored people around her that please get the vaccine because my child for health reasons can't. That's
right.
Something I don't even think about. There are kids who, you know, I guess who could die from getting the vaccination for whatever health they have, and they are susceptible to getting the measles. So they're relying on people who don't have these health
problems. Look, here's the thing. You know, when we were growing up, it was really measles, mumps, rubella, and I don't know what else.
MMR.
MMR. You had that. You had like a scar in your arm from that particular shot. And that was
that
it.
Is that what my scar is?
Yeah, everybody had that. It was like a stamp. It was like a branding thing. Everybody got that.
That's not for polio?
No, that was for, I think that was...
I don't know.
I don't know.
I do have a little scar on my left arm.
Yeah, we all have that, and you get the polio vaccine. I can completely understand what's coming up with the vaccine because there's an outbreak of something that you need to be protected against, and that is perfectly acceptable. I think when all this dialogue came up of the anti-vaccine movement, there were a lot of vaccines for, like we talked about the other day, there were a lot of vaccines for things you didn't necessarily need. And they even did away with some of them because they realized afterwards that, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have been offering this. You don't, you know, and that's my feeling is, okay, then go back to basics. Do the things that we've all been doing for the last 50, 60, 70 years that protect us from things that have been eradicated.
From terrible, insidious diseases.
And don't be an idiot. Don't be a granola crunching.
I was posting... I was posting something like that on Facebook, and I took it off because I didn't want to come off that incendiary.
Well, I don't know whether or not any of the anti-vaccine movement is listening into our show, but I do think it is incredibly negligent, and it's just not. I can't believe every time you turn around, it's like it's hit another state. It's scary.
Well, what I find frustrating is that the thing I was going to post on Facebook, or I did and I deleted it, is I'm curious as to how many people in the anti-vaccine community believe in global climate change. And you say, well, what's the connection between global climate change and getting your kids vaccinated? And my point is, you know, I don't know if I believe in global climate change. I know there's a lot of, obviously, the scientific proof it seems to be overwhelming. But, you know, then you see studies out there that discredit the global climate change scientists. But I'm willing to bet that most people in the anti-vax community would say, absolutely, global climate change is definitely occurring. And they will definitely point to all the science that supports it. Yet on the other hand, when all the science certainly supports getting your kids vaccinated, they choose to disregard that. It's just, I'm tired of people selectively choosing whatever fits them best to support. Same thing goes for religiously. People who say, you know, I'm not going to get my kids vaccinated because for religious beliefs. Well, I would like to see what your religious beliefs actually are and what religion it is that says that you can't get your child vaccinated. Maybe that, and that very may well be true. But then I want to look at all the other precepts of your religion that tell you what you can and can't do and see how many of those the individuals actually follow to the letter of the law. Because to me, again, being selective in what you choose to follow and not follow and use that as the reason why you decide to get your child vaccinated or not vaccinated just doesn't cut it. Especially when you're doing something. Listen,
you're putting other people's lives in danger. That's the bottom line. It is not just about you.
Yeah.
You are putting other people's lives in danger, and this is the perfect storm. Unfortunately, it's like everybody was afraid of Ebola, but now look what's happening, and this is like insane.
And, you know, it's funny, the person on CNN, this analyst, was saying about individual rights versus the rights of people as a whole. And as much as you have an individual right to do what you want in terms of your own body, they are not without limits. There are limits on anybody's rights, with whether it's freedom of speech, other things where you say, you can't go ahead, as much as you have the right to say whatever you want, you can't go ahead and yell fire in a movie theater. My point is that there are, on every individual right, no matter what that might be, there are limitations on how far you can carry out that right. And when you are endangering others, or your actions have an effect on other people, that's where the limits should be. And that's the overall point. Is you want to choose to do something with your child that doesn't have any effect on others, you know, go ahead, do what you want to do. But when my kid is at risk because of something that you're doing, that's when the problems occur. Right?
Totally agree. So,
do we have any happy things to talk about? Like anything? You were watching Shark Tank when I came home yesterday. Anything good on that show, again, that I'm not a big fan of, but did you get anything out of that on Shark Tank yesterday?
Yeah, you know, there was a guy who made a drain collector thing. It's like people come up with these random things. He was down on his luck, and he had lost all his money in the real estate market. He was a realtor, and he said to the shark, you know, I could have just laid on the mat and be depressed, but I decided I was going to pick myself up and continue to keep going for the sake of my children and my family. And he wound up becoming like the top 10 realtor in Washington. And he then created this drain catcher that gets all the gunk out of your sink. And at first the sharks were like, well, why wouldn't, you know, Kohler,
we can
or
use
anybody
that, right? We need that gunk catcher.
They said you need to be connected to like someone at Kohler or one of the bathroom places to then have them manufacture your drain catcher thing. And it was patented and everything. So I think one of the sharks was like, a bunch of them were out, but then he did get a deal with Robert, which is, I
who's
think,
your,
my favorite.
Who, yeah, I was going to ask, who's your favorite shark? He's the guy with soft hair?
Yeah, because Robert's like, you know, came from immigrant family, you know, he can be tough, but he's super nice, and like, I just like him. I feel like...
What about your girl, Barbara Corcoran?
I like her, but she's
See,
really
for
mean.
everybody out there, Beth actually knows Barbara Corcoran.
Well,
Love.
yeah, but that was through a connection through
A
my,
long time
yeah, a
ago.
long time ago. We had our talk on a panel. She tells it like it is, Barbara Corcoran. I always like someone who is a little more compassionate, and Barbara goes both ways. And then the other one, Lori, gets annoyed when people aren't paying attention to her. You know, like she wants to be
Oh, QVC
the
girl?
QVC girl one is like, if you're not paying attention, she had a whole argument and like was trying to ask a question
And
of
they
the person, and the person couldn't get a word in, and she said, "I'm out." And they're like, "Well, why didn't you just let answer, what question is it that you have?" She goes, "Well, he wasn't listening to me, so I'm just out." It's like, come on, are you a child? Like, give a break. He's nervous up there. He's like sweating bullets. And the poor guy, that one made one. He made a mattress that regulated the temperature in the mattress. And the concept is brilliant. However, they were like, "How much is that?" And they're like, $500. And
Wah, wah,
right. And
wah.
everyone was like, "Oh God." And people would walk out of there saying, "Are you kidding me? I'm not spending $500 for to regulate the temperature in my mattress. Just get a blanket, you know, get a down comforter and call it a day. It's not a big deal." So those are some of the
Who's that
things.
guy, Ken? Who's the other guy who's always, the other, not
There's
Mark
Mark
Cuban.
Cuban.
The
There's,
guy who's always saying, I'll take a royalty, I'll take six on.
yeah, not Ken. Isn't Ken? I
I
think
don't know.
I
He's a
know
tool.
Mr. Wonderful. That's his. Yeah, he thinks he's so
He's got the
whatever.
personality of a frog,
Yeah.
right?
Well, it's funny because you know they also do a lot of stuff with like kid entrepreneurs and you know I for my PR business we have a client that they actually approached and they don't necessarily want to do anything with them yet because they know they need to have all their T's crossed and I's dotted and they'll ask about all kinds of things that you might not necessarily want to share at the moment. It's a scary thing because they say, "All right, well, how much did you make this year? $800,000." Holy cow,
Whoa,
that was.
that was a cat mauling.
That was a kitten bowl.
Sorry about
That
that.
was a, yeah, we had like,
All the
holy.
animals came together at once and converged, and it was like the perfect storm.
Oh
And
my God,
our
the dog
cat,
didn't even bark.
I don't know what happened. Our cat Hazel, I don't know if Jasper did
She
something to her, but
scares everyone. She can clear a room,
oh
Hazel.
my God,
She is not nice.
You do not want to get attacked by Hazel. Thing that happened. Do you remember what happened when our daughter was younger?
Yeah,
And
I was ready
oh,
to have her declawed.
yeah.
She wasn't attacked. She just used her
No,
as a
she wasn't
diving
attacked,
board.
but I'm telling you, Hazel is the sweetest, most gentle cat, but she wasn't always like that. She
She's kind
used
of
to be,
feral.
she was feral for a while, and I don't know what happened, but our daughter was laying on the couch. This is how many years ago? 6, 7 years
Yeah.
ago, right? How old? I don't even know how old Hazel is now, but all of a sudden, she's watching TV, and Hazel. Who knows if she heard something or whatever that set her off, but she started sprinting around the house, and then she started running into the den and basically used our daughter's face as a launch pad to go towards the window, and she basically just clawed our daughter the entire side of her face,
I
right?
was beside
Yeah,
myself.
we were
I
the
called the vet. I called the vet to have her declawed. I did. At that moment, I
and
did.
I
And
was
then they like dissuaded us. They didn't want us to do it.
yeah I It's it was tough because when she was
I mean,
that
she could have
aggressive,
lost an eye. I mean, it really
no,
was that
absolutely, it was
scary.
very scary, and thank God she was okay, and yeah, we've never declawed any of our cats.
Animals,
I
none.
know I know there's
My
obviously
furniture hates
makes
me for
your
it.
furniture hates you for it. We've paid the price because of it, but
I know.
of our animals. It's I don't know if anybody has cats
Well,
out
the
there.
smart thing would be to actually trim the nails, but they don't. They get so nuts that they don't want to go near us, so we don't do it, and then it becomes a problem.
Here's how I look at it. If it's a matter of an animal actually getting a home and they have to be declawed to do it, I say do it just because I'd rather see an animal in a home than not at all. But given that once in a home and people can sort of just put up with the scratching of the furniture, I think you should do whatever you can to let them keep their claws because from what I understand, when you
Very
remove it, it's
painful.
very painful for them, and I would hate to see any animal have to suffer, without significant reason to doing so. So I don't know how we got.
I don't know. Well, we were
What
talking
happened? We
about
got distracted. We were
Shark
talking about Shark Tank, and all of a sudden our cat got mauled. Then we started talking about Hazel, and then we talked about the story of when she
Yeah,
died, and then we
we're
talked
just a, it's a,
about being
it's like, and
declawed.
then, yeah.
Sorry about that. We sort of got
Well, no, so I was telling about Shark Tank about how they ask you like all these different questions that can really that make them decide not to invest in you. So you could say, I made 800,000 this year, and then they say, but then what was that? It when you cut right down to it, what was your profit? And you say, well, we actually didn't make a profit. Well, then you're not a profitable business, you know. Or there was another one that made like almond milk, and they were selling it into stores, and then one year they made $300,000, and then a year later they only made two. And they said, well, what happened? They said, well, we removed one of the SKUs, so they only were selling two bottles instead of the three that year. And the guy was like, he said, I'm willing to listen to you. I'm willing to, you know, take your advice. We just want to take it to the next level. And instead of them saying, oh, you know, that because it was they did love the product, they went ahead and said to them, well, you're too wishy-washy. You need to have a firm belief of what it is that you want to do with your product. So we don't want to work with you because you're too like, you know, you kind of like go with the
Flaky.
wind. You're too flaky. And meanwhile, like another person will come in and be too like direct of what they want, and then they'll shoot that person down. So like, I would not
But
want to be
it'd be tough to
in
be
the
on that
hot
show. But
seat.
the overall thing is similar to like, getting a loan or anything. The people that I imagine that they want on Shark Tank are the people that don't really need the money. That's what it comes down to. Like the people that they want to invest in are the ones who could look at the guys at Shark Tank and say, I don't need your money. It would help.
Right.
It'll help me, but I don't need it. And I'm
And I'm
and just
willing to
show and
work.
I'm willing to walk away. And those are the people that generally, it's the same thing when you go for a loan at a bank. The ones who are most likely to get a loan are the ones who are probably the least likely to need it, right?
I guess. I don't know. I'm
No,
not that person.
absolutely. It's like
I'm the one who would need it.
I would never want to lend money to anybody that truly needs it.
Okay, then you won't lend money. There you go.
No,
So you're not lending money to me.
it's
You're like, I'm cutting
it's
you off.
contradictory, but that there is some truth to that. Not, I mean, I'm obviously being a little bit glib when I'm saying it, but there is truth. Like the less you need it, the more likely people want to give it to you.
Of course, it's the same thing with like, here's another credit card. We're extending
Right.
your credit. You know, here's $25,000. They just dangle all those carrots, and then, you know, and eventually you fall into a hole, and
Yeah,
it's a mess.
once you get into a hole with a credit, with a credit card, ugh.
I know. I'm trying my best not to
No,
use our cards as much.
we've been
And
much better.
well, because I know that we have big expenses coming up, and I kind of look at it like, okay, well, the camp is going to be going on one of the cards, and I got to figure out which one I want to put it on, so then nothing else goes on it, so that I don't get hit with a whopping thing. Like, there's all kinds of.
I do think it's better, like if you are on a budget, to go to the bank and take out cash each week and set and decide. I'm purchasing everything, doing everything via
Well, we
cash.
should
It
do
keeps you
it. We used, my parents used to do
a
that.
lot more disciplined, right? You know how much you're spending each week. You can obviously you can track it yourself with a credit card, but when you put it on the plastic, it's just easy to
It's,
tuck away and
yeah.
forget about it. But if you go to the cash machine and say, "This is how much I'm taking out for the week," come hell or high water, it's a good
Well, the
way.
other thing was that PayPal card, because the PayPal card really works as a almost like a cash card. So if you put money into your PayPal account and you go out or wherever, and you use the PayPal card, you're still using credit, but in a way it's not, because it's coming right out of your account. So
You're a big PayPal fan.
I am. I mean, well, I mean, look, they hit you with certain charges too. They're not.
They got some pretty hefty
Yeah,
charges.
they have some fees that they definitely hit you with. But I do think it's pretty easy when you want to get paid immediately. I mean, of course, now they have this Apple Pay thing, and there are other ways. We use QuickBooks for our business, and there's ways where is actually direct deposit right into our bank account, which is my favorite option, and only a couple of our clients take advantage of that. So I think more and more when there are options as a business owner to get paid immediately, sometimes you'll opt to take it on PayPal and take those the hit with the charges because you know you want that money, and it's a matter of then you have to bill back or whatever the people for
What is it called? Apple Pay? Apple.
Apple Pay. And then, I mean, there's ways now that I can literally send money right to a person. And it just goes, you have to just set up your account. And, you know, even if it's like between friends, oh, okay, we're going out to dinner. I owe you $20, and you can send it to the person if you don't have cash on you, instead of saying, let's put it on our credit card. So that, to me, you're right. I mean, I think we should be doing that more. When I was growing up, my parents had a drawer that they put money in, and that was all we did. And, you know, I remember my mom going to the butcher, and she'd write out a check to the butcher. And they weren't even using credit cards at the supermarket. I mean, when was credit cards at the supermarket, I think, first started happening in like the 90s when we first moved into the city.
You know what all this technology should teach people?
How? What?
It should teach you that no matter what type of business you have, and no matter how big you are, and no matter how important you believe you are to your customers, and that you have these barriers to entry that can never be overcome, and you are it. You are, no matter what it is, you are susceptible to the risk of technology. And that's why that I mean, like, Western Union, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I imagine Western Union's got to be hating this technology, right? Western Union makes its whole business is getting cash into the people of hands, into the hands of people that need it, right? I don't know how many people, you know, are using the Apple Pay, the people that are Western Union clients.
But Western Union is like, I need money for my bail bond. Like,
no, they take cash from, you know, point A and transfer it to point B, and they collect a nice hefty fee from people. But, you know, I'm sure a lot of the customers don't have iPhones and probably, you know, can't take advantage of service like this. But I'm sure there are marginal customers out there that say, what do I need Western Union for anymore? I can just use Apple Pay. Or how about, like, you know, taxi companies, limousines, right? You know, you would never think, oh, how is a taxi company or a limousine going to be in trouble by technology? Well, now you got Uber, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, if you take a look around you today and take a look at taxis and limousines services, I know if I were them, I'd be blanking
well,
a brick right now.
Listen, I got to tell you, when we were in the city for my girlfriend's weekend, right outside the hotel, a limo driver came up to my friends and said, do you want a ride to LaGuardia? And at first, we didn't know what size the car was. And we said, well, how much? He said, $50. $50. He was going to drive my friends from New York City to LaGuardia. And we look over, and he drove them in a stretch limo.
Nice.
But that was like $50. In the past, you never would have been able to do that. That would have been $150.
Right. Technology makes everything more affordable. You know, drives competition. It makes the people who thought that they were above competition, all of a sudden a little bit more responsive to customers, it's a great thing. But my point is that if you don't see any imminent threats to your business and you're like, oh, that doesn't affect me, I can continue to carry on my business I always have, and, you know, I'm not really that concerned about customer service or whatever it might be because people are still going to use my services no matter what, and there's a lot of businesses that feel that way, I have news for you. Eventually, the marketplace will find a way to make you irrelevant. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
We have Central Taxi, right?
Yep.
Down by. When's the last time you took Central Taxi?
Well, now that I have Central Feldman, I don't need Central Taxi.
Yeah, exactly. Now that you have Rutledge Taxi Service.
Right, I don't need.
But how pleasant is it every time you get to take Central Taxi?
Oh, it's not pleasant. I mean,
not great,
it's
right?
Not great. Well, and I mean, you always are sharing a car and going to five different stops.
Just for everybody out there,
Central
Taxi is right next to the Scarsdale train station. And you know, I dread any time I ever have to take Central Taxi. I find that the people there, not the drivers, are nice, but I find the people who manage the place, the owners, I find them to be just rude, very curt, and very unappreciative of the fact that of the business that they get. And they basically have a monopoly in that area for all intents and purposes. But if I were them, I'd start thinking about how Uber is going to start affecting my business, because I would bet that a lot of commuters coming off that train, as they're coming off, they're going to be typing into their Uber app and seeing who can give them a lift in the train station. I know I would.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So.
And maybe it'll be you, because you're going to...
Listen, your next Uber driver could be me.
Could be Darren.
Right, exactly.
So on that note, we have to start our day, and hopefully...
I got a couple of dogs to walk today, actually.
Awesome.
A little later on.
All right.
Just a few.
Dog man walking.
Just a few. Trying to get these programs going, and then walk a couple of dogs in between, so...
All right, sounds good. Well, thanks for stopping by, everyone.
Stay classy.